Welcome back to the Escape Collective Tour Daily, everybody. Where are we, Johnny?
We're about 50 to 100 meters past the finish line at the top of Mont Blanc. It's been a day. We finally cracked. But an attritional bike race today, which is the attritional word used too much, but today was that.
It was very that. We're just sitting on a grassy lawn.
An angry French man made us get off another lawn that I presume is his garden, and there's lots of red tape around it, and we're not allowed to sit there. Nope. But we're on another mound.
That is a no-go lawn.
The riders are streaming past us as they make their way across the finish line, put their jackets on, get a little whistle to warn the fans who are just wandering around out of the way as they descend back down.
We talked to some riders. We heard from Adam Yates and Tom Pidcock.
Rafa Micah
and Sepp Kuss. Sepp Kuss, which we didn't realize because I think we were en route at this point.
Mm.
I didn't realize that Sepp was the one that fell down until we saw him all beat up.
The first one that fell down. So he hit the phone and then...
Phone hit
him. And then he hit Naarten van Hooijdonk, and then Naarten van Hooijdonk hit the ground.
Ouch.
Not a good time.
Yeah.
So anyway, he had a bit of a scuffed up elbow, a bit of a scuffed up knee, looked a little bit sore, but said that he just needs to get to the body shop and then he'll be fine.
Well, so let's break down the bike race a little bit. We at first, it didn't look like there was a breakaway that was going to be allowed to go. Jumbo-Visma was keeping things pretty close, maybe just not the right mix. And then there was that crash with Sepp and Van Hooijdonk, and that seemed to basically decide it for them. They were like, okay, we're not going to do the whole ride really fast all day thing. And the break went, and we had a bunch of big names in it. Wout Poels ended up being the winner on the day. Wout van Aert was also up there. Alaphilippe was up there. Again, we had the sort of day of two bike races, and Wout Poels wins his first ever Tour de France stage.
Yeah. A just reward for all of his countless hours of domestique work over the years, I reckon. He's won some other races, but this is probably the biggest. I guess that only really happened potentially because of the crash. Ian said he saw this morning Jumbo-Visma warming up. So when that happens, it means they're going to be riding hard from the off. Good to see that break go and win. And then there was about seven. We nearly didn't see Wout Poels cross the line because behind in the GC race was finally kicking off, and it was Adam Yates, Tadej Pogacar, and Jonas Vingegaard on their own. And then Adam Yates sort of rolled off the front.
Which was interesting. He has good legs, he said.
He said he had good legs, and it was, their whole thinking is that, well, Vingegaard's not going to chase Adam Yates when Pogacar's there, so then that lets Adam Yates get a bit closer on the general classification. Maybe he gets close enough that he can come into play, and then UAE have the option to Roglicify Vingegaard. I mean, there was one shot when they caught, so Adam Yates went up the road, Marc Soler was already up the road, he was part of the breakaway, he was sort of in contention for the stage victory at some point. Soler and Yates were caught by Pogacar and Vingegaard, and it looked reminiscent of the race last year, when it was Pogacar and a bunch of yellow Jumbo-Visma jerseys around him. So that was a weird sort of flip on the head. Because Sepp Kuss was involved in the crash, I imagine he wasn't up there. Otherwise, he maybe would have been.
Yeah, and I think that if you are Jumbo-Visma, you're really hoping that Sepp's injuries are very minor and that he's good to go. I mean, he does kind of has 2 days to recover now because he's got the rest day and then he's got a time trial, which, you know, he is sitting still, I think, top 10 on GC or
close to it.
It'll be
the slowest time trial of all time.
But I don't think he's probably not going to really ride that. Or even if he rides it really hard, it's so short that it, for these guys, is effectively a rest day, right? So, yeah, he's got a couple days to recover. He looked okay at the top.
Yeah.
Like you said, Ian, he had a couple scuffs, but he wasn't sideways on his bike.
He
looked all right.
He was a happy young man.
Today was a case in point of what Rafał Majka said at the end of how now the story is just how evenly matched Vingegaard and Pogacar are. But Majka was saying, you know, next week at some point we will need some luck. And that's maybe what will decide the bike race. Because at the moment, the time trial may be a deciding factor who is a better time trial. But other than that, it could just, when it's this close, luck comes into play more than anything else.
Yep. Yeah, because that was the big story of the day. It's just that they're inseparable.
They are inseparable.
I mean, Pogacar tried a couple times into the finale, just like he has as of late, but it didn't work this time. Couldn't quite do it. It wasn't particularly steep. We should say that, that so those last few Ks were not crazy, crazy steep. But, yeah, still couldn't make it happen.
Here's a T-shirt idea and maybe an article I'm going to write when I get a chance. Thank God there are two of them. Because if there was only one of them, this bike race would have been done before I can even remember what stage it was.
One of them could win this thing by 8 minutes.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the thing is they wouldn't have to work as hard, so the gap wouldn't be that much to them.
Yeah,
but they are so a class above.
I mean, they'd go get 5, 6, 7 minutes and probably just kind of leave it there and ride defensively for the next while. And
we're going to go into the third week of the tour with a gap of 10 seconds. It is crazy.
That is crazy.
This doesn't happen.
Rarely.
Our sport has changed, yeah. And this is hopefully how it is now.
I do still think it's interesting that, I mean, everything we heard yesterday was from Jumbo is that they still think someone's going to crack. And it certainly, today, Pogacar didn't look great, actually, kind of coming in through the last couple kilometers. He was letting little gaps open up and maybe just a bit of mind games there, because certainly when he threw down, he looked like he was totally fine.
It's because he usually looks so effortless on the bike that as soon as you start to see him a bit labored, it really is obvious, you know. It's hard for him to hide it because of how seamless he is.
Yeah.
But also, I think Pogacar in that final kilometer was attacking Vingegaard over and over again and just couldn't get that separation that he previously could. So maybe it's an example of how Vingegaard has, well, he said he trained that since last year.
Yeah, and I think the terrain wasn't quite right for it.
Of course, yeah. But yeah, more sprinting uphill from the boys.
There's been a lot of that as of late. We go into a rest day tomorrow. And then we have time trial, like we mentioned, 22K has a Cat 2 climb in it. I'm interested to see what kind of tech they run, whether they do bike swaps or whatever, but I'm pretty sure they're just going to run time trial bikes. I'll chat about that. I don't know.
And then is it Col de la Lose on stage the day after the time trial?
Yes. And then the day after the TT is the Col de la Lose, which I think is the hardest stage of the race.
Yeah.
And Col de la Lose is probably the hardest climb of the race. There's Peter Sagan rolling down the hill.
Phil Bauhaus has just come past, and the Bora Hansgrohe rider has sort of patted on the back. Phil Bauhaus looking very pale, and Phil Bauhaus just looks at him and just shakes his head, just empty, like, what? What am I doing here? This is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm a big sprinter. But he survived, and it looks like that's most of the riders now through.
Yeah, I think that was...
That was a laughing group.
If it was Bauhaus, that's probably the gruppetto, unless there are sprinters off the back of the gruppetto.
A lot of the sprinters are home now who would have been behind.
That is very true. Yeah, Jakobsen out, Caleb Ewan out. Our intention in this opener here was just to give you a little color from the top of the mountain, let you know what we're seeing, who we're talking to, and we're going to throw to ourselves a couple hours from now.
Back down the mountain
and probably at dinner.
If you hear from us again on this podcast and it doesn't just abruptly end, it means we made it down in the cable car with the thousands of people in this mountain.
I'm not so sure we will.
I've got one Orangina that we will have to split between the three of us and huddle for warmth.
I just gave away a Tortel twist, so I feel like an absolute idiot.
Should we just make moves?
Yeah.
All right.
This is a doomed exit.
Let's hear from ourselves. Well, gents, we are back. We're back. It's a couple hours later. We should reset the scene. All of our listeners out there, close your eyes. Imagine. Ian, what are they imagining?
Three tired boys have had a bit of sun, sipping some beer in a square in Saint-Gervais after watching some bike racing.
There's big mountains all around us.
Yep.
There is an old kind of hotel-y looking building on one side, and there's a new, horrible, ugly apartment complex on the other.
Over to our right, there's a sign that says Reflet du Changement, and it has two almost identical pictures to reflect the changes that have happened between 2004 and 2019. I don't know why they've bothered.
Yeah, if anything...
It's one of the more pointless...
Like, if anything, it looks worse now.
Yeah, the vibes have decreased.
That's a lovely place, though. It's a beautiful temperature. We're just hanging out. We just had our dinner. Like you said, we're having a beer. And we've been digesting not just our dinner, but also the day's bicycle racing.
Smooth.
I think we should, before we get onto anything superfluous and tangential, Wout Poels, first ever, not just first ever tour stage win, first ever Grand Tour stage win. So now he's won a monument and a Grand Tour stage. So sort of Palmares complete. He is, seems like a very well liked rider in the peloton. Yep. And he also got emotional in his press conferences. We're walking out of the absolutely rancid smelling press room today.
It smelled so bad.
And he was getting emotional about Gino Maeder as well. It kind of fit like, obviously, and I think in the TV interview, Flash TV interview after the stage, Poels brought it up. So it's not like the media keeps on asking Bahrain riders when they win about Maeder's death. But it does sometimes feel a bit like it's, I don't know,
like a little voyeuristic or something. Yeah. Like it does feel a bit gross after a while. But he, like you said, he did bring it up and he clearly wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he got quite emotional, as you would, as you know, they were all friends of his. So
the other thing that happened as we left the press room, Ian's final moment on the Tour de France is the end of the friendship tour.
Officially over.
It didn't end on the best of notes because as we were squeezing out between the desks, Ian basically nearly thwacked a journalist's laptop off the table with his bag. And I think he's a Spanish journalist or Colombian journalist maybe. And he had the most patience of any man ever, where he just like grabbed his laptop, sort of closed his eyes in frustration and just like got back to work. It was quite the scene.
It wasn't like I was being completely careless.
It was accidental and you're moving very slowly. It's just unfortunately you completely caught it.
I just had too big a bag.
Yeah.
It's happened to all of us. I'm sure it's happened
to you,
Johnny.
Oh, at one point or another. Yeah, of course. I think it was just the irony of the friendship tour ending on... I don't think that man's ever going to be any of our friends.
I was in a press room in 2011, I think it was, when one journalist quite obviously purposefully like stepped on the cord of another journalist's laptop and yanked it off the desk
on purpose,
and then there was shouting and almost came to blows.
I think I've heard this story before and I remember the protagonist being the I'm name not, is being quite interesting.
I'm not going to mention any names because it's not
you don't want that beef.
I don't want that beef. I don't want to be in the middle of that beef, which is probably still around 13 years later or whatever, 12 years later. But it was shocking.
We've just found out, as per usual, the place we've gone for dinner is not good enough for the cycling podcast. Same with the accommodation, same with everything.
I was just assuming they got turned away.
Oh, I think that's what they said, but you never know.
Yeah, they've just been chasing us around. Always a step behind the cycling podcast. Always a step behind. I say that. We were catching up with Lionel when we were parked in Avant the other day. And I did say that I would like to be on their podcast.
You really want to be on the podcast.
I really want to be back on the podcast.
As someone
who
appears on many podcasts, mostly ones of which you are the proprietor.
Yep.
It's slightly concerning for me, but I'm choosing to ignore it.
It's like somebody that owns a restaurant wanting to go into someone else's kitchen to cook a meal.
I just think it'd be fun. And I know for a fact, so Ian Boswell's headed home tomorrow, and then like they have a bit of a gap. They need some help. They need an American accent.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, every podcast needs an American
accent.
They've
got on fine for years. Actually, to great success without one.
All right, this is true. But I'm eventually just going to sneak my way in there.
You will. Another note from today. Someone messaged me on Instagram. Matt Beedham messaged me on Instagram to inform me that Rob Hatch has started suffering from Sean Kelly's spoonerisms. Kelly infamously coining the name Philippe Gilbert for Philippe Gilbert. today where Rob Hatch went for Wout Van Aert. Which is fun.
That is good. I mean, granted, if you and I, all three of us, had to talk as much
for
live
6 hours a day, yeah,
as Rob Hatch does, I think we would also end up sounding like
we
idiots.
Talk a lot of nonsense for like half an hour a day.
Yeah.
And it's not as good as their accidental nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else, fellas? I feel like we've finally run out of juice.
No, I think we can fill in some more colour from on top of the mountain.
Yep.
We saw some of the most catastrophically drunk people I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
There was...
Before you launch into that, sorry, I just want to... I need to get this off my chest. Ian has just loaded up the Wikipedia page for the Tour de France.
I just think it's reading, important to get an idea of where I am just when I'm about to leave it. No, sorry, I'm preparing for our little game later on.
Okay. Sorry, your fans are on top of the mountain. Your fans? I hope they're not your fans.
Well, yeah, we were looking for a place to sit because we got up on top of the mountain in a gondola quite early, and we found a bar which had... we heard some pretty bad music at dinner last night.
Yeah, today's music destroyed us.
It was louder, it was...
Some drunk guy came over and turned it up at one point.
It was too loud.
It was terrible.
Kaylee nearly decided to just go for a nap on the grass.
They were blasting Hava Nagila Hava. They were blasting the Benny Hill theme.
That was a good one.
That was not a good one. They were... And there was one point when I went and bought some paper thimbles of rosé, €2.
Oh my... Yeah.
And then on the way back, carrying those, a man tried to take them off me. He was the drunkest man I've ever seen.
He was very drunk.
And... His time at the bar concluded with him doing a wee on the bar.
Like against the side of it, yeah.
Against the side of the bar whilst I don't know if he was ordering his next round.
Yeah, I think he might have been trying to.
So he did a wee, and then a nice family came over with two golden retrievers and they started drinking the piss.
Then the dogs.
The dogs, not the nice family.
Yeah.
It was one of the most disgusting things we've seen in a long time.
It was pretty bad.
And a reminder not to get that drunk, ever. It's bad for you. It's bad for everyone around you.
Yeah.
So then we went into a quieter, dirtier section of the bar.
And then to try and revive ourselves, just got some crepes. We were trying to find ways to reset the day. And it was like a boiling hot day, a boiling hot crepe, that will, you know, get us back to zero.
They were good, though.
They were delicious.
Yeah, they were good. Is there additional Tour de France to be discussed? There is, actually, if we're looking forward. Yes, we have a rest day tomorrow, but we're not going to be running another podcast tomorrow that would talk about what is coming up the day after that, which is the time trial.
We have a special podcast tomorrow, yeah.
We do. So we have a special member-only podcast tomorrow. If you're a member, you will get it the same way you got it last time. Newsletter, Discord, there'll be a link. Special top-secret podcast channel. If you are not a member, you gotta sign up right now.
To plug it, let's not keep it top secret. To plug it, we have given out the inaugural 2023 Escape Collective Tour de France Awards.
A week early,
yeah. It's our thing. We're running it. We get to do what we want. It makes more sense than the Oscars awarding awards for films like a year after they come out.
That is true. That's true.
Awards such as Best Sports Washing, Favorite ASO Employee, and most importantly, Best Friend.
Best Friend. That was a hotly contested one. Yeah, we decided that because Ian is leaving and because Ian has experienced the entirety of the Tour de France thus far with us, we had to do it with Ian.
Yeah.
As much as Kate would be great, she will only get the last week, which is not the full picture.
Right, and Joshua Robinson of the Wall Street Journal is returning, but he's missed the bulk of the tour.
He has.
And so I think Kate already has friends, whereas I've been on a mission to make some.
Kate now has friends on two different continents.
So that's true. If you want to get that podcast, you have to head over immediately to escapecollective.com/join. Sign up. It's $1.
$1. $1 for a podcast. $1. What can you buy for $1 anymore? Nothing.
Nothing.
Inflation.
Like a Snickers.
Really? Even? Can you even...
Maybe not.
Did you say a Snickers?
Yeah.
If they're on special in Coles, yeah.
We don't have time to go into what Coles is.
Yeah. In like 45 minutes to an hour of listening pleasure.
Pleasure is debatable.
With some live interaction from the nominees.
Also very true. Yeah. So go check it out. Make sure you signed up. And if you are signed up, then you will get access to that.
On the note of looking forward, how is your were your 5-minute long predictions going from the other day? Is it what you said happened?
Today? Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. We might as well go home.
No further questions.
No, I think I said that today would be a slight advantage Pogacar, but it would probably be no bonus seconds available, and so nothing would really happen. And that turned out to be true. I do think we saw a shift in tactic because of the crashes. I think it would have played out a little bit differently today if Jumbo-Visma hadn't had those crashes. And we have a bit of an update on Hooydonk, yeah. Right? He just went to the hospital.
Naarten van Hooydonk, we saw a video of him getting out of the team bus into a team car, looked in quite a lot of pain, and he's on his way to hospital. I mean, by the time this goes live, maybe we'll have more information, but doesn't look like he's at least going to be fully fit.
No. I do want to talk TT. I want to talk TT really briefly. So this is a fascinating time trial course because it kind of starts in the valley down actually just below where we are in Passy, and then it ends up almost as high as we are right now, which is quite a ways up off the valley floor in Combloux. That includes a pretty decent climb right near the start, which is not even categorized, but it's 1.3 kilometers at 8.5%. That's like a pretty decent climb. Then we get the first time check, a drop down into the valley floor in Solange, another time check, and the base of the Côte de Domancy, which is a Category 2, 2.8 kilometers at 8.5%. I don't understand how that's a Cat 2. That's not really a Cat 2, but they've called it a Cat 2. It's pretty difficult. It's a pretty difficult climb, and then it actually continues to rise about 3, 4% after that, all the way up to the finish line. Now, 3, 4%, given the speeds that these guys ride, like, that's... they're going to be hauling, and so it you know, that's basically like the speed they will be going is probably roughly the same at 3-4% as normal people would go on a dead flat road, going really hard.
Yeah.
So they'll be flying. So my guess is that they're on TT bikes, but it's going to be a hard one to pace. Pacing is going to be really crucial on this one because it has this early climb, this kicker, you know, put some lactate in the legs, and then it has this pretty significant climb all the way up to the finish line. I'm going to make you two guess who wins of Vingegaard and Pogacar. Who has the advantage after this time trial?
Pogacar for me.
Yeah. Pogacar has Jumbo-Visma in a TT mind prison at all times. And Pogacar was saying how much he loves the course.
He does love the course. It's really good for him because those punchy climbs are really good for him. I think I'm with you. I think it's going to be quite close. I think it's going to be less than a 30-second gap. But one thing we do know about the Tour de France is these two are incredibly evenly matched. They are, as we put it yesterday, inseparable at the moment. And so I actually think it is relatively likely that this time trial ends up deciding the Tour de France, which is something that we were kind of hoping would not happen. And I still think the Col de la Loze the next day could it could just shift things entirely. But man, today they certainly didn't look like anybody was going anywhere.
I think Pogacar setting off first maybe gives him a bit of an advantage, because then we've seen him just ride best when he's just free and there's nothing to lose, and he's just like, he's not in the yellow jersey. He's like, well, I might as well, you know, get full beans. Whereas I think the sort of having the yellow jersey, having to chase, if Pogacar goes out flying and Jonas has to chase him, especially when you're trying to pace an effort, maybe that comes into play. The spy on Twitter just now, I saw the spiciest of spicy takes from our colleague Cosmo Catalano.
Yeah.
Where he said that because the Pogacar and Vingegaard are so closely matched, it's now more boring than if it was like a huge lead. Where is he just being a troll?
Yeah, he's trolling.
Okay, because it worked on me.
That's a spicy take that has just gone all the way around the spicy continuum and is now back at tepid.
Like a chili that meets at the end again.
Yeah, it's a circle. It's a circle of spice. Yeah. No, like seriously, I mean.
Does that exist in nature?
No.
Like, I don't know, but you definitely don't get them in Australia with your border control.
No, but, like, just to be clear, like, I don't agree, because even today, when there wasn't a ton of GC drama, we still were sitting there wondering what was going to happen the entire time, and then we did get... they do try.
It's just suspense. It's great. Yeah, the building is good. Of suspense.
Yep.
So I mean, that's what used to keep people going when, like, Froome was leading the Tour de France by 4 minutes, and it still kind of worked.
Yeah.
I also like the fun little tactical bits that happen. where there's an Adam Yates up the road or there's a Wout van Aert up the road, and you're like, oh, what are they thinking? What are they doing?
In hindsight, the whole, oh, you know, I think Pogacar said that Yates gained some time today, so he comes back into the GC crash, and it's like, well, he doesn't really, because he still lost 20 seconds to Pogacar and Vingegaard, so, and he's probably going to lose more time in the time trial. I mean, sure, he could on the low stage, and then there's still another like climby day on stage 20. Like, yep, they could just chuck him up. Like, all of UAE team members just chuck him up the road.
So at the moment, we've got obviously first and second within 10 seconds, and then 5 minutes and 21 to third.
Before time trial, before Col de l'Alpes, before another.
With an entire, like, 20. With, yeah, two really hard climbing stages and a time trial still left in this bike.
10 case. Minutes, you reckon it could be?
Third could be 8 to 10 back by the end of this race.
Well, then Geraint was only 7 last year,
yep.
I think.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a two-horse race. That much is quite clear. And as you said earlier, thank God we have the two of them, because otherwise this would be, well, a bit, it would have been over a week ago. We have an exciting Guillaume Martin update. He is in 10th. He has moved up two places. He's in 10th. He's overtaken Felix Gall and Thomas Pidcock.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Guillaume Martin without ever actually having spoken to him. But I like his vibe from afar. I like the fact that he's got a lot of donkeys. I like the fact that he owns a B&B with his mum and his girlfriend.
David Godu is still the best placed Frenchman in 9th. Only 11 seconds ahead of Guillaume Martin. Thibaut Pinot took back some time today, I think.
He did, yeah. There was some movement on the Groupama FDJ classification today. Pinot again in the break, and again losing time at the end of it. Goudou way off the back early in the stage, and then resurrecting himself with the thought of a steamy makeout session. And there we have it. It equilibrium returns.
Is it time for the corners?
It might be time for corners.
There is one other minor classification that I'd like to touch on.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Again, we have a void opening between the two Yates brothers.
The Yates sandwich is now looking a bit more delicious because there's a few different ingredients in there.
What are the ingredients in the Yates sandwich?
Okay, we established yesterday you've got your Sepp Kuss, which I imagine is some sort of paste. If Sepp Kuss was a food item, it'd be a paste.
Sepp Kuss is a slab of all-American 100% beef. Thank you very much.
Beef?
Yeah.
No, like...
He's not beef.
Manufactured meat.
Yeah, it's like smushed, pasty meat. Yeah.
Or corned beef. Or
corned beef.
Straz.
He's corned beef. Then you got Jai Hindley.
I think he's a fresh brook trout.
Who?
Jai Sepp Kuss.
Sepp Kuss is a what?
It's fresh brook trout. Just like a fillet.
Fresh brook trout.
What is it? What sandwiches are you eating?
Are you having a
when
stroke?
When was the last
Kaylee?
Time you had a trout sandwich?
Fine, he's a paste.
He's a paste.
He's not a paste. That's
Jai
rude.
Hindley is. Help me out here, Ian.
I think a cheese, not too regional, quite
okay.
Sort of
a holy one.
Maybe like a Marsden.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, Aussie cheeses that are worth?
Cheddar.
I don't think that's Australian.
It sounds like an insult, but it's not. It's popular. People like it. It's inoffensive to most palates. That's
Jai.
That's the Jai Hindley cheese.
And then the final ingredient on the top is Peo Bilbao, who's some sort of delicious...
Pesto.
Pork substance.
Jambon.
No, Basque
hamon.
Country. Yeah, jamon.
He's jamon definitely some jamon. Yeah,
very
he's
meaty
some
sandwich.
Jamon Iberica. Let it go.
Where's the rocket?
It's coming. Don't worry.
Rocket, for those in America, is arugula.
We don't have the time to discuss that. Emmanuel Buchmann is eggplant, so let's hope he gets in between. Is that with your view classifications?
No, I did try and stir some shit in the Yates classification this morning.
Oh, yes, you found your one non-friend of the tour.
Which backfired quite spectacularly when I went over to the Jayco Alula bus, asked for a chat with Simon, got denied, asked for a chat with a team director, spoke to Matt White. Matt White either didn't detect that I was trying to have a bit of fun or didn't want the fun that I was putting down.
I mean, and yeah, Simon Yates lost 3 minutes yesterday, so it's probably not the best time to be having fun as their Tour de France sort of evaporates into thin air?
No, maybe not, but I...
You tried.
I could have done it last night, immediately after he'd lost that time. But I thought I'd be respectful and do it this morning at the buses. Anyway, Matt White didn't like the vibe of the Yates classification, said he'd never heard of it, said that there's no competition between the brothers because love each other very much.
He's just lying to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. We did get into some sort of mystical talk of twins talking via telekinesis, so it is possible that...
Today, Adam waited around, went back up toward the finish line, and then connected with Simon, and then they rode down together.
Really?
Being connected, like...
Like, they were riding next to each other.
Okay.
You know,
like, you meant like Avatar or something.
Neither of them physically knew that the other was coming. They could just sense it. There was a magnetic feeling.
My twin is here.
I did find that interesting. Like, he didn't roll around looking for a teammate to roll down with. He literally waited around for 5 minutes. And, yeah. Rolled down the hill with his brother. That's great. And their partners were up there, and their dogs. Everyone was there. It was a big party.
Yep.
I don't think Simon's dog was there.
No.
And when I asked Matt White about Simon's dog, he said, I don't know. I don't know about Simon's dog.
He really tested him this morning.
There were points where we just sort of looked at each other, and I was like, just trying to have some fun. it's just for a podcast bit. And he...
Well, at least now we know.
No fun.
No fun.
Yeah, no fun with Jacob Alula.
Maybe we should just ask him very serious questions.
I framed it as a serious question.
Mm.
Maybe that's what he took offense to.
We ready for the Maya Sablo?
We are.
Who goes it first tonight? Who's first? I believe it might be Ian.
I got it right.
Yep.
I think after you, that was your second.
No, so it's my turn to go first.
Yeah, I think I'm happy for Kaylee to have a wobble.
Okay. So the Maya Sablo after stage 15, we're down to 20th position.
Ooh.
20th.
1 hour, 1 minute, 9 seconds.
Okay.
It's not a name we've had already, kind of obviously.
At all at the Tour de France. A complete stranger to us.
Or in
the running of this
competition. In the running of the Maya Sablo. A less likely comp... You know what? I'll give. There's one clue available, and you're just going to have to cycle through names. He's French.
French, which means he's like one of the top French here. Considering
he's the fourth best Frenchman currently.
Fourth best Frenchman at an hour. Bergadou? He's been in breaks.
No, he's been great, but not Bergadou, unfortunately.
I'm going to take a stab at Wawa.
Not Wawa, not Warren Barguil, the King of France.
Can we get a team?
Agile Desert, Citroën.
So it's a Frenchman that has been riding in and around and near Ben O'Connor and Felix Gall.
Felix Gall is not French.
No,
but they're
riding
around on the same
team.
Oh,
I thought you were saying my answer is Felix Gall, and I was about to say no.
It's my turn?
Yes.
Oh, I don't, who? Who's the fourth Frenchman?
He said it's my turn. He's not riding this
year. Oh, I thought that was...
Gadou, Pinot, Martin. Who's fourth?
Come on. Just need a guess. I think I mentioned him a few times on the podcast.
Ben O'Connor.
No.
Ah, damn.
Aurélien Parapentre?
No.
Good guess.
Good guess.
Oh.
Is it time for initials?
First initial.
C.
Clément Berthet.
Yes. Did you have that as well?
That's what I was going to guess.
First mover advantage.
Well done, Kaylee.
I had to cycle
enjoy
through.
The money.
Fair game's a good game.
there we go, Maya Sablo.
I'm proud of that. The only reason I had that name in my brain is because I confused him the other day with Ben O'Connor from behind.
Ah.
Yeah.
I think that the Maya Sablo might fall as far as 16th place this tour. That's my guess right now.
What place is it right now?
20th. I think 16th, 17th could be the sweet spot. Obviously, you guys shouldn't be looking at the general classification.
At some point, like, only looking at the top 10 is going to be kind of difficult. But at the moment, it's far enough down. You have to scroll to get to it, which is fine.
But, yeah, all to play for still.
All right. Well, well done, Clement.
Well done, Kaylee.
Well done, Kaylee. Well done, everyone.
Yeah.
Is it time for our daily pain?
The daily pain.
Ah, I've been waiting for this.
The daily pain, if you are not aware of the daily pain, is a recurring game that we play on the pod with a rotating game each time. We come up with a new game.
Yep.
A different quiz each time.
Well, it's roughly the same rules with different answers.
It is something with multiple different answers, and then we pass it back and forth until one of the people cannot answer.
It's like a sudden death penalty shootout, but with words.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So, in today's Daily Pain, I am the pain master.
And the pain maker.
What I am asking you...
DC pain maker.
Winners of stages in this year's Tour de France.
Oh, God. Oh, that's good.
Wout Poels.
Tadej Pogacar.
Jasper Philipsen.
Which time?
It only counts. I can only use him once, right?
Okay.
Peo Bilbao.
Victor Lefebvre.
Adam Yates.
Jai Hindley.
Carlos Rodriguez.
Mikko Kwiatkowski.
Yonis Aguirre.
Oh, no. Who am I forgetting?
I'm going to have to press you for an answer, Kaylee.
Who am I forgetting? Who was in the first couple days? Mats Pedersen. Johnny just mouthed English putain.
I'm searching. Holy. Teams are evaporating from my mind. Is that it? We might have got them all, I think.
There's one that I didn't hear. But I, the pain master, could be wrong.
Someone's going to have got this and it's going to be excruciating for them. Oh, I might have to be timed out in a bit. There is someone obvious. There is someone so obvious. Do you have it? Are you empty? I may have to... No, one more try. One more kick. A big mountain stage. There's a big mountain stage. Someone won on a big mountain stage. I have no clue.
The answer that you were looking for is... Does Kaylee know?
I don't know. Is it a big mountain stage?
Wait, there is... No, we got the three Spaniards.
The answer is... Michael Woods.
Oh my God.
Oh God. I'm sorry, Mike.
I was the only one of us three who actually saw it happen.
Do I get that point? If I couldn't.
Yeah,
I
don't think, you do. Yeah, you do.
I don't think you get that point.
Yeah, because I got timed out.
But I asked you who it was and you didn't.
But did we decide that if someone gets it wrong, the next person has to get the next one or else you don't get the point?
Well, there was
so
only
no
one left.
There's anyone left.
No points.
You know what? You know what, boss? You can have it.
Well, we'd like to apologize to all of our Canadian listeners out there and in particular apologize to Mike Woods.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I would have done if one of you had got that because then the pain would be over.
That's a good point. Is that all we've got for today, chaps? Any other business?
So. I think so. Yep.
Here's another reason to sign up. We're saying goodbye to Ian. This is technically the last time he'll be on the podcast, but we recorded the rest day special earlier, and we said goodbye to Ian on that. He shared his thoughts on the tour. So if you've been enjoying listening to Ian... and you want to hear him bid you farewell for this tour season, then you're going to have to stump up that buck, Sonny Jim.
escapecollective.com/join. Go do it. All right. Well, yeah, Ian, you're out tomorrow. We're driving you to Geneva Airport. You're flying home via Kuala Lumpur and North Korea. And
that would be a fun journey.
Yeah.
We will miss you. And in your place, Kate Wagner arrives, which is exciting. And Josh Robinson of the Wall Street Journal, although he's not staying with us, so we...
Oh, yeah, he won't be...
We may or may not get him
until the last bit, is he? That's
yeah.
a shame.
It's been fun. Thanks for putting up with my dumb bullshit.
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed having you on. I feel like the energy level tonight is slightly lower because we are... We got cooked today. We
did get cooked.
We're cooked.
It's
we're
fine.
2 weeks in.
It's fine. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
I always crumble around stage 15. Oh, every year.
You'd be better off in Pyrenees. Really more of a 1 week stage race kind of guy.
Yeah, well, like one of those Portuguese ones, which is like 13 days long. And I can just juice myself to the maximum.
All right. With that, let's get over to Jose Bain. We're going to get a bit from Tuesday's stage.
Well, we have a super short time trial on Tuesday. It's just 22.4 kilometers against the clock in this year's Tour de France. And this is a policy choice by the organizers. Christian Prudhomme was once quoted saying that the time differences in a time trial were much more significant than in mountaintop finishes, and I guess, therefore, not preferable. But there are more reasons why the time trial has fallen out of favor. The TV viewing figures for time trials are lower than road stages. The viewers are just not that interested in general and find time trials boring to watch or to commentate on, I can add from personal experience. Mean rumours state that the lack of time trial kilometres has to do with the skill set of certain French GC hopefuls against the clock. Well, whatever the reason, the times of Miguel Indurain and also Bradley Wiggins laying the foundations for a Tour win on a time trial bike are long gone. So, we have 22.4 kilometres on the course between Passy and Combloux. That should be around half an hour. We are racing in the department of Haute-Savoie in the Alps. In 2027, the Super World Championships are right here. That's track, BMX, trials, mountain bike, paracycling, road and indoor artistic cycling, all in one tournament. This year, we will see the first combined worlds in Glasgow, and first 4 years from now, it will happen right here in the French Alps. Of course, the courses are not announced just yet, but a repeat of the 1980 World Road Championships could be an option. In 1980, Bernard Hinault became world champion on the Côte de Domancy, and that is the climb we also have in the time trial on Tuesday. It's 2.5 kilometers long at an average gradient of 9.4%. In 1980, the men did this climb 20 times in a 268-kilometer race. To compare, the Côte de Domancy has roughly the same average gradient as the Mur de Huy from the Flèche Wallonne, but Domancy is 1 kilometer longer. Side note, American rider Beth Hayden won the women's race in 1980. That was a measly 53.6 kilometers long. Well, let's see what the course will be like in 2027. What we do know is that the riders in the time trial on stage 16 only have to do the Côte de Domancy once. A 22.4 kilometre time trial is like a walk in the park if you would ask the 1947 peloton. It was the first tour since the devastation caused by the Second World War. That year, they also only had one time trial. But it was 139 kilometres long. And that is 139 kilometres. It's the longest time trial in the history of the Tour de France. Belgian rider Raymond Impanis won that monster time trial from Vannes to Saint-Brieuc. And that is from the south of Brittany all the way to the north. I sure do hope there was a tailwind from the south of that day. The Belgian rider needed 3 hours and 49 minutes for the 139 kilometres. He won that 19 stage by almost 5 minutes on Jean Roubik and 8 minutes on yellow jersey Pierre Brambilla. It didn't really help in Parnis all that much because on the day before the time trial he was 7th, and that's the position he stayed in after the time trial as well in the GC. As for Pierre Brambilla, the Italian would lose the yellow jersey on the last day of the Tour de France that year, 2 days after this time trial. In a relatively short stage, for their era, of 257 kilometres from Cannes in Normandy to Paris, he lost 20 minutes on stage winner Brik Schotte and 13 minutes on Jean Roubik, who jumped from third to first in the general classification. Roubik won his only Tour de France that year without ever having worn the yellow jersey in the race. Brambilla, he would never win the Tour de France, and the third place of 1947 was as close as he ever got.
Yes, we're going to take a little rest day tomorrow. We're going to relax and recover, and we will be back. If you're not a member, so it means you don't get the special episode, we'll be back on Tuesday from the time trial with Kate and possibly Joshua Robinson of the Wall Street Journal. And maybe somebody else.
Maybe.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.